Continue our media availabilities. We're now joined by Michael McDowell, driver of the number 71 Chevrolet for Spire Motorsports. We'll go ahead, open it up. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we will get a mic on over to you. We'll start down here with Zach. And then we'll go to Zach behind him and then Holly.
Morning. Zach Sternhill at NASCAR.com. Michael, jumping into the Xfinity car this weekend, what's your excitement level about that and getting some extra lap times around here?
It's been a long time, so it's been exciting. Yeah, it's been fun. You know, I haven't driven the car yet, but just, the prep work and some of the simulator work and it's nerve-wracking too, just because the cars are very different than the next-gen Cup cars, and so thankful for the opportunity, and I'm glad to get some more reps. And the last time I ran Xfinity car was Road America 2016, and felt like, man, I'm not going to get in one of these things again unless I can win, and I feel like this is a car that I can win in, so excited to give it a shot.
What's the, on the Cup side of things, what's the significance of this weekend? I wouldn't say that this is your last chance to
it's get do or die place. For sure. Yeah, okay. I mean, yes, we have more opportunities. I mean, we can go to Richmond and run well too, and obviously Daytona, I feel like we have a shot at, but to me, this is the only way you control your own destiny is to win here. The other two are very tough to execute and have everything go your way, so it's times winding down, as you guys know, right? And the pressure always ramps up as the time's winding down. But I've been in this spot before, and definitely feel confident that our road course program's, been really good. And if we do our job and we have a fast car and we qualify well today and we can start up front, we'll have a shot at it.
We'll go to Zach and then to Holly.
Zach Tansredi, kicking the tires.net. You mentioned how long it's been since you've been in this series. A lot has changed, but one big moment in your life that did change was that 2016 win in Road America. A lot's happened since then, but can you go back to that day, with RCR and how you won that race and kind of what it did to you mentally and in your career at the time?
Yeah, it was a great moment. There's a lot of funny stories. You know, I'd driven the Gibbs car a couple years prior to that at those places and sat on the pole and led the most laps and had shots at winning and just never got to the finish line, green, white checkers or fuel mileage or whatever it is. And with the RCR group, I had one race, one shot, and it all worked out. Just a good execution all day and no problems and kind of like how you dream it up to be, where, the last several before that in the Gibbs cars, like I probably had more speed and more of a dominant day, but it just didn't work out. So to have it all finally come together was a big relief, honestly, just because it'd been such a long time and so close. But just a funny part of the journey there is Sam Hornish was practicing qualifying my car in Michigan, my Cup car, and so he ran the car Saturday, and I obviously won the race, flew back to Michigan, and I talked to Sam for a little bit, and honestly, he just personally did me a favor of practicing and qualifying that car. It's not something I think he truly wanted to do. And I said, "How was it?" And he's like, "Man, I know it's probably me because I haven't driven, but it's so bad." And I remember thinking, "Oh, it can't be that bad, right? It's going to be okay." And then the next day, I'm going to exaggerate, but I'm telling you, I ran 38th, three laps down, and I got done with the race, and everything about Saturday had already been forgotten, because you just get out and you're like, how could it be that? I honestly was like, I wish I'd have flown home. I wish I'd have gone directly home, because, that moment, that high was gone so fast. But when you get back home and you see your family and all that and you celebrate, but it's just how humbling the sport is, to go to Road America on Saturday and win. And, I think the thing that I remember the most, honestly, was Sunday morning at the driver's meeting of, just all the owners and other drivers and people just congratulating me and coming up and going out of their way. And, you know, at that time I'd driven for a lot of different teams, you know, and so that was a cool moment. And then Humble Pie came super quick in the race on Sunday. And yeah, it's just funny how this sport works.
We'll go to Holly, then to Dustin, then to Steve.
Hi, Michael. Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. I wanted to ask you what your confidence level is like this weekend. I mean, it feels like you've done so well on the road courses, and then something crazy has happened, and you haven't been there at the very, very end. But what is your confidence level like here at Watkins Glen?
Yeah, confidence is interesting. We talk about it a lot in our sport, and it's a real thing. But I think momentum's more of a real thing than confidence, and they correlate. They go together. I mean, I think I show up every weekend feeling like I can win. And, you know, obviously the road courses are a little bit more pep in our step just because they've been our strength, and that's more of the momentum. You know, when you run top five most of them, you know that you have a fighting chance at it. But with confidence, I'll say this, is that, you know, I showed up at Sonoma thinking after Chicago that we were going to be the car to beat, and we weren't. And that's how finicky cup racing is. We still ran well. We still ran in the top five. But we didn't have the outright pace that we needed to do what we needed to do at Sonoma. But we come in here confident that we got it all right and that we will. And so I feel like this is probably our strongest track as a group. Last year, you know, all three Spire cars were in the top 10. And, you know, individually, even though the results won't show it, this is probably my best track from an outright speed standpoint. You know, we've had an engine failure and a bunch of issues over the last 3 years, but led a lot of laps and been out front a lot here. So confidence is high, but you got to execute and, you know, you got to hit everything just right.
Go to Dustin and then to Steve, then back down here to Dustin Lee.
Dustin, let me know, JC, you kind of mentioned how this place is one of your favorites. How similar do you feel like the road course program is now with Spire compared to what you were used to the last few years?
Yeah, it's not even close. We sort of had to abandon that ship fairly early on of what we used to run versus what we run now. It just hasn't worked. I think we've talked about that a few times. So we went to the mindset of this is going to be a slower building process than we had hoped. But it's actually worked out because we went to COTA and learned things there. And then, you know, that kind of transferred over into Mexico and felt like we made a next step, and then went to Chicago and made a next step, and then went to Sonoma and took a step back. And hopefully we've made that next step back forward. And so just slowly building that package around me and around the baseline that they've had, which is very different than what I've ran the last 2 years. So,
Steve Post from Motor Racing Network. Michael, the unique characteristics of Watkins Glen, what are you looking for, the feel? I mean, you talked about getting a good qualifying run. What does that feel? What are some key areas you'll be looking at in that practice session today to say, we're pretty good, or we have some work to do, this specific racetrack related?
Yeah, it's different here for the race than it is for qualifying, what you're looking for, I should say, because where lap time and speed's made is not necessarily where passing's made in the race. So it's a little bit of two different things. I mean, you got to be good in all the corners. You don't have any room for throwaways, but you know, your lap time and your speed's going to come from the S's and the bus stop. But you don't pass so much there. You pass into turn one and you pass into turn six. And so, for this practice here, you're focusing on both of what do I need to make, you know, ultimate lap time, and am I good in these areas leading up to the passing zones? So it is unique from that standpoint, where, some of the other tracks are more straightforward of where you need to be strong. This, I think, is different for lap time than it is for race. Yep.
Come down here to Dustin, then we'll go to Lee, and we'll wrap with Chris.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. You know, a few years ago when the data became available to all the drivers, everybody talked about, hey, my secrets are gone. I can go study anybody else, and, you know, it's going to make everything even. So that being said, we see what Shane has done winning the last three road courses. Why is it that somebody like him can be at times that dominant and have that much success when everybody has the opportunity to look at all the data from him and study him in every way possible, that it would seem like the data would prevent or make it easier for somebody to break that streak and you wouldn't see somebody win three in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I would relate to this just because on, you know, social media or Instagram, you see somebody working out and lifting weights, doesn't mean that you know how to get fit. It's kind of the same thing with data, is you can look at it all you want and you can say, oh, I need to do this, but actually doing it is different. You know, your muscle memory and having the car set up and the feel and, you know, all the uniqueness to a driving style. You know, the guys that talk about that were Denny and those guys that, you know, had a clear advantage in the old car and short tracks. Denny's phenomenal at saving tires and all the things he did. So there was maybe a few little trade secrets that you could learn. But as we've seen, going and doing what he did there is still hard to do, right? And so you can see the data, but duplicating it and duplicating the feel, and you're not driving their car as well. You don't know what their setups are. You don't know, you know, what they're doing that allows, you know, a person to approach it like that. So it gives you an area to work on. It gives you an area to identify, okay, this is where I'm getting beat. How can I get better? But just trying to do what somebody else does is really hard. And you see that even with teammates. You know, you see inside organizations, you know, guys that have the same cars and have all the information can't do the same things. And I think it's more of driving style, and each of us is fairly unique. But it does help to highlight where you got to get better.
I know it's difficult for anybody to do like somebody else, but I just think, I'm wondering, hey, it's pointing out areas of where I need to get better.
Yeah.
And you know, over time, I should be able to get better at that.
Yeah, for sure.
Apps, so that's why I just wonder why he was that far ahead. I know it's
true. Yeah.
To duplicate how he does.
I just don't think he's that far ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. I know everybody else does, but I don't.
Because
in cup racing, you're talking about a tenth of a second is the difference between first and fifth. And so I just feel like it's small. Everything's just details and execution. And he does a phenomenal job of all those things. But a lot of people come into these races beat. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Can't. How could you come to the racetrack feeling like you're already beat? So, you know, I just don't take that mindset. Yep.
Go ahead, Lee.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. You spoke earlier about the success that Spire had last year here. They also had success yesterday with 15-year-old Tristan McKee. And I'm curious, I know you taught at Bondurant, but what were you doing at 15?
Yeah. Not winning at Watkins Glen. Yeah, it's really awesome to see. And, you know, obviously we've invested a lot into seeing the potential and where it could go. And at a young age, it's so hard. It's hard because I would say if you just look at like Joey Logano, you look at Kyle Larson, you look at all the young guys at that 14, 15, 16 age, they were dominant in everything that they did. But as you take that next step and next step and next step, it just gets harder and harder and harder. And you know, obviously he rose to the occasion yesterday and, you know, had things go his way for sure. I mean, Brent Cruz was, you know, pretty dominant all day, but he put himself in position and he executed. And to do that at 15 years old is extremely hard with a tremendous amount of pressure of it being his first race. So it was really cool to see. You know, it was a fun moment too, you know, for me, because, you know, obviously I'm vested here at Spire and plan on being here a long time, and, we'll have a part in picking my replacement, which it looks like my replacement's been picked. And, the faster he gets through all these series, the faster I'm going to be out of the seat. So it was a little bit of those moments of like, I still like driving. If this guy keeps doing this, this is going to be really short for me. But no, I mean, I feel like it's great. And to have, you know, depth of young talent is super important. And, you know, I think the sky's the limit, and it's just going to be about putting him in the right situations. And then also too, you know, you got to be careful not to rush it. And, it's easy for us to all do that because of yesterday, right? I mean, we've seen it in our sport before. It's like, ah, and then you just keep rushing it. And sometimes that makes it a little bit too much because you don't get all the fundamentals that you need to progress to the next level. So the good news is there's a plan in place and he has a lot of time available to him, right? And so it's really not a rush because of how far ahead he is. And so, yeah, it was very cool to watch.
And you're going to be one of the oldest guys in today's Xfinity field, and I'm kind of curious, what do you – well, there's 3 40-year-olds.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. What do you – I know. I'm kind of rubbing it in.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Awesome. I would too.
What do you expect to glean from just the opportunity to run in the Xfinity race today?
Yeah, I think that – you know, I talked to my team about it. I mean, it wasn't something that I was pursuing, right? Chris Rice talked to Jeff Dickerson and then called me and said, hey, do you want to do it? And I thought about it for a second. And the reason I thought about it is not because I don't want to race. I want to race. I mean, it's not like I don't want to do more, but this is such an important weekend from the Cup side that I don't want anything to distract it or take away from our opportunity winning the Cup race. And so, you know, I talked to Travis Peterson, my crew chief, and I talked to Ryan Sparks and Matt McCall, and I was like, hey, do you think this is a good idea? I don't mean for Saturday, I mean for Sunday, because Sunday is my focus, right? Winning on Sunday is what matters. And they're like, no, I think it's great. I think if you get more seat time, it's better. And they all kind of said the same thing. So I felt like, all right, I kind of had the green light to go have, you know, fun and have an opportunity to, you know, push myself and relearn some of the things that I probably have forgotten over the last few years driving this next gen car. So I'm looking forward to it. And I hope that it, you know, helps me to execute better on Sunday and maybe, you know, find the rhythm a little bit better starting off today. So, but I don't know. I haven't done it. I haven't done, you know, a back-to-back weekend or, you know, a doubleheader in a while with that much difference in car. So it'll be interesting to see what carries over and what doesn't carry over. I don't think I could tell you right now what that will be, but maybe tomorrow. Yeah.
We'll take a final question from Chris.
Chris Knight, CatchFans.com. Hey, Michael, if you don't win, secure a win before the playoffs, what will you need to achieve, if anything, over the final 10 races to consider your year a successful one at Spire?
I can't think like that, Chris. I have to win. We'll worry about that in 3 weeks if we don't, but I just can't think like that. We know what we have to do, and we have to do it. And if we don't, then we'll get to that stuff when we get to it. But, yeah, right now it's you just got to win.
All right, Michael. Thank you for your time. Good luck this weekend.
You.